故事烙印，树地最新考研英语大纲词汇，由中国科学技术大学音像出版社制作出版。朗读者
Mary Jo Christensen
Matt Christensen A strong boy. A cruel man abandoned his wife and son. Above all, everyone must abide by the law. So he was arrested. But the trial came to an abrupt end because of the man's absence. It was said he was mentally abnormal and was set free according to one law. What an absurd judgment. That's absolute nonsense. The angry people thought this bad law ought to be abolished to keep the judge from abusing his power. Fortunately, the boy's mother was able to afford enough money for the boy to go abroad to study. The moment the son was about to go aboard the ship, they kissed goodbye with tears. The boy went to an academy of technology successfully. No one could doubt his ability to learn abstract knowledge. He was absorbed in knowledge so much, just like dry sand absorbed water. His teacher really appreciated his complete absorption in his studies. So he supplied the boy abundant books for study, which accelerated the boy working harder.
Miss Austin's carelessness. Miss Austin was a strong woman. By investing wisely, she accumulated a fortune. One day, Miss Austin met a young man by accident. The meeting was quite accidental. It was time of the Olympic Games, so hotel accommodations were scarce. The young man saved his room for Miss Austin politely. If she sang, he would accompany her on the piano. Because of his politeness, his strange accent was acceptable. Later, Miss Austin employed him as her assistant. He became accustomed to his job quickly. If she asked him to buy some accessories for a car, he would accomplish the work soon in accordance with her orders. So Miss Austin trusted him more and more, and even one day, the man had access to her bank account number. Miss Austin's detective showed her an accurate report to warn her of the man's cheating. He advised, "You must act accordingly." Miss Austin took his suggestion into account. The young man was asked to account for his cheating. He explained he made a mistake on account of his illness. According to his behavior, he was accused of incompetence.
Age of advertisement. It's the age of advertisement. The ad companies have acute senses to activate the public to like the products the sports players recommend. If a woman has been acknowledged as the best tennis player in the world, she can acquire a lot of money from advertisements. Of course, she must pay some additional charges as taxes to the tax administration. Usually, the woman will adjust herself to the change of her life, and soon she will adapt herself to it. As a sports player, her earnings isn't always adequate to meet her needs. In addition to a beautiful house, she also wants to buy luxury cars. It's normal that a famous sports player's cars add up to five. In addition, some rich sports players like to buy acres of land as their properties. Thus, they can have their outdoor activities conveniently. Sometimes, some acquaintances of sports players are popular too because their houses are adjacent to the players. Their houses adjoin the players, which make them proud and happy. An adjective for this phenomenon is snobbish.
A lucky orphan. It was advisable for an old couple to adopt an orphan as they had no children of their own. Everything had been fixed in advance. Their kindness was an advantageous condition, which gave them an advantage over other applicants for the adoption of a little boy. The boy grew up quickly under affection, but his behavior was not particularly adult. That was a common mistake among adolescents. Soon, the boy gained admission into the aesthetic college. The college was affiliated with a famous university. The affair affected all who knew the boy. He won the admiration of people. In the college, the professor he met first was an advocate of truth. He ignored all kinds of adverse comments about him. In the class, the professor taught the students how to use an adverb in the sentence. After class, he told them about his adventures in aerospace, and he showed them some aerial photographs. He also took advantage of some advanced instruments to make experiments. His new product was so promising that his students decided to advertise it for him. The boy enjoyed his study very much.
A bad journey. Mr. Bacon used to be a music CD agent. He got the job through an employment agency. By accident, he heard some African music. The music was agreeable to the ear. From then on, he was in an agony of longing. Africa was a mysterious land attracting him. His heart agitated for adventure. Mr. Bacon had a friend named Jack. Jack was an alert alien. They were much alike in character. Both of them never touched alcohol. Both of them were aggressive, but Jack was stronger. In the 400-meter match, he got ahead of Mr. Bacon every time. One day, Mr. Bacon received airmail from Jack. In the airmail, Jack described the beauty of Africa. Mr. Bacon affirmed that what he said was true. 3 days afterward, they met at the airport. According to the agenda, they arrived in Africa the next day. They found that the lack of rain aggravated the serious shortage of food. The agricultural commodities were deficient that year. There were rumors in the air that it was punishment from God. Next, on the way to a hotel, they were shocked to see a dead man on the road. They alarmed the police at once and waited for the aid from the police. It's really a bad journey.
The most promising student. The college admitted Steve when he was 15. The news was all over the small village. Not only he himself, but also his parents felt happy for this. They always sat alongside him. There was a bill along with the college notice, which upset them. The family was not rich at all. They had no radio, let alone a television. But they went all out to afford the higher education for him. After all, they had only one son. Fortunately, the college made allowances for Steve's situation and awarded him an allowance of $5,000. When everything was all right, Steve went to college. In all, there were 30 students in his class. Steve learned a lot at class. He knew brass is an alloy of copper and zinc. Besides this, he knew sometimes hemp was used to alleviate pain. Also, he could read the Latin alphabet correctly. Steve liked all the subjects but history. He had heard enough, such as Britain in alliance with France once defeated a number of smaller countries. Britain was an ally of America in both world wars. They were allied countries, and so on. But allowing for the graduation, he still got A in every subject. The teacher allocated duties to all the students every Monday, and Steve always finished his part first. So the teacher alleged that Steve was the most promising student in the class.
Paul's life goals. In Paul's youth, he had the ambition of being a famous basketball player. As an amateur, he found great amusement in playing basketball. An ambitious boy usually worked hard until one day he broke his leg. The ambulance drove along with noisy, whirling whistles toward the hospital. His parents alternated in looking after him. Once he recovered, Paul amended his life goal. He began to have interest in political affairs. At the age of 40, he was appointed ambassador to Britain. He told the news to his girlfriend at once, and he proposed to her. He said to her, "My dear, my savings amount to $300,000. We have ample money to decorate our wedding room. I just bought an amplifier yesterday, and I prefer to an ampere meter being made of aluminum, even though it has analog to another one." But he was amazed to hear her ambiguous answer, "Maybe." Paul had no alternative but to wait. There were a few alterations to the timetable, and the next month he flew to Britain. The airplane flew at an altitude of 20,000 feet. Paul felt something wrong and soon lost his mind. When he woke up, he was told that the airplane had crashed and he broke his leg once again. By analogy, we could guess that Paul would amend his life goal once again.
A lovely neighbor. The Smiths lived in the apartment above ours. It was said that one of Mr. Smith's ancestors was a great chess player. A chess player must have an analytical mind. Mr. Smith lived on his annual pension. Apart from that, he had no private income. His wife, Mrs. Smith, was an announcer on TV broadcast, and she once helped us to fix the television antenna. Their daughter, June, was as lovely as an angel. Once she hurt her left ankle when her parents were not at home. My wife sent her to the hospital in a hurry. All of us often sat side by side and chatted one with another. Sometimes we would discuss some ancient history. Sometimes we would play games one after another. On their 10th anniversary of marriage, the Smiths received an anonymous letter and then made a decision. That is, they would start an Antarctic expedition. Since they anticipated that they might meet many difficulties, they would leave June with us. June was annoyed at their decision, so her father comforted her. "View it at a different angle. You needn't have anxiety about that. I was anything but a hero. Anyhow, we just wanted to realize our dreams since childhood." Finally, June accepted that.
Two shows. The show would approximately begin in 5 minutes. It's apt to rain that afternoon. The television men had set up their apparatuses. Some appliances were made of stainless steel. Last week, Grace's first appearance failed. There was no apology needed. People's disappointment was already apparent. She was so sorry that she had no appetite to eat. Grace appealed to her friends for help. Thus she got an appointment with the appointed director. The way was applicable. The director was not easily approached, but Grace's appropriate attitude impressed him. Although he had received 20 applications, he agreed to give her another chance. Grace appreciated his help very much, and now Grace's second performance won the applause of the audiences. She was loudly applauded. There was an appreciable difference between her two performances. The final list, together with an appendix, would be sent to the manager for his approval. Grace waited for his appraisal with a great deal of apprehension.
One Arabian Story. The Arabian Nights entertainment is very interesting. One of them was a story about an outstanding architect named Raf. He was good at arithmetic since childhood, and at age of 20, his opportunity had arisen. The king asked him to design a palace roofed with an arch. On top of the arch, there would be an artificial arctic bear, its architecture of great artistic value. The king and the architect arrived at the agreement without argument. Before Ralph finished his work, he saw the princess. Even a flower was not as beautiful as she. Once he saw her, he felt as if he were drunk. As to that, he hadn't thought of his social rank. Love was important for Ralph as well as for the princess. As for her, she felt as though Ralph were a member of her family. One evening, Ralph articulated his love to the princess. She arranged with him to meet at her bedroom. The next day, the princess aroused him just before dawn. But the arbitrary king had arrayed troops, and he ordered the soldiers to arrest him. Luckily, the princess shot an arrow to stop them in time.
Inhuman Revenge. Sandy was an Asian. The local theater associated with other business establishments to discriminate against Asians. Everyone aside from Asians could get into the theater. Sandy was stopped too, but his angry aspect frightened the entrance guard. That evening, several Asian students, including Sandy, assembled in the campus. Each student had been assigned to a job. As for Sandy, he was to make an assault on the theater. In the middle of the night, with a loud bang, the theater was burned to ashes. Sandy assisted other students to swim ashore. A helicopter was waiting for them, but Sandy stayed alone. He watched the helicopter ascend higher and higher until it disappeared. The police was going to ascertain the truth, and they arrested Sandy. On the court, Sandy made a speech to assert his innocence. He assumed his action would arouse attention to race discrimination, but his assumption proved to be wrong. No one assessed his speech at its true worth. The court simply put him into prison. Sandy asked for a meeting with his parents. They came with tears. They had brought some easily assimilated food for him. Sandy asked them to ask after his grandmother.
A sincere debtor. An Australian, Mr. Mason, was charged with being in debt. On the day of trial, there was a great attendance at the court. Every audience was attentive to what he said. Mr. Mason used to be an athlete, but he had a dream of being an astronaut. In his mind, astronomy and atom theory were much more attractive than sports games. He paid attention to all kinds of space information, and he borrowed too much money to rent a spacecraft. But he hadn't paid off his debt yet. Mr. Mason gave assurance that his debts should be paid soon. His sincere attitude was so moving that he attained his freedom, but he attributed this to his attorney. After that, Mr. Mason worked in a store during the day, and he augmented his income by teaching in the evenings. He used tapes as oral material to teach English. By the end of that year, he paid off all his debt, so Mr. Mason decided to cross the Atlantic Ocean as a trip. He attached a label to his baggage, then went aboard. It's a day of nice atmospheric pressure. He was astonished to feel the atmosphere of peace and calm on the sea. It reminded him of his dream again.
What's waiting for Nick? At the beginning of the auto or automobile industry, many people were attracted to Detroit. Nick was one of them. He worked in a factory. There was no available automatic in that factory. Some part of the work must be done by axe, and the axe was awkward to handle. So Nick availed himself of every opportunity to improve instruments. He would design 2 to 3 instruments a month on an average. By and by, he became an authority on it. As one of the best workers, he was awarded bonuses often. Recently, Nick was assigned to fix an engine to avert any possible damage. He drew an axis on it first, then fixed it carefully. He also brought an auxiliary engine with him. But just after he finished repairing, he was aware of his mistake right away. An awful accident happened next. The engine exploded, and a big fire ensued. The people who stood on the avenue tried to extinguish the fire, but it's of no avail. Fortunately, nobody was injured. The boss awaited Nick at the meeting room. Nick didn't want to avoid punishment. To his surprise, the boss didn't blame him. Instead, he gave a book about aviation to Nick, and the author was the boss himself.
First day after graduation. George was a little backwards since his childhood, but he was awarded a badge for his hard work and study, so it wasn't surprising that he had attained a bachelor's degree without any background. The first day George came to a village after graduation, he saw birds fly back and forth over it. There was a stream back of a bar. Suddenly, a girl lost her balance and fell down in front of him. "You have to back up, then turn around," he said, and helped her up. Then he bandaged up her injured ankle. The girl judged him to be a bachelor from his simple baggage. She invited him to her home. The house was decorated with some colored balloons and banners. A badminton racket was hung on the wall, but iron bacterium had made it rusty. Her father, Mr. White, was a barber, but he himself was almost bald. Mrs. White ran a bakery, and her bacon bread was famous. The girl backed her mother up wholeheartedly, so the bakery would never go bankrupt. That evening, George invited the girl to see a movie that was banned in the 60s. She used a rubber band to tie her hair, then followed him. They went out with the bang of the door behind them, but George backed down what he said soon. He decided to treat the whole family to a big dinner first.
Mm-hmm. Harry's life in Battery. Harry joined the army and became a member of the Battery. It's winter time. The trees were bare because of the cold. The war ended nearby a bay. The Battery bought a barrel of beer to celebrate their victory. The salesman refused to bargain over the price, but he gave them some coffee beans free. After lunch, the game began with a baseball match on basis of friendship. A batch of soldiers joined this. Beginners would feel it difficult to play, but Harry did it well. In fact, he wanted to play tennis with his new tennis bat. At that night, the strong wind unroofed the barn and a dog barked, so the Battery found a captive was gone. The captive had a beard, and it was said that he was a beast. No one expected this beforehand. Harry rode on a horse to pursue him. The horse ran over the barrier easily. He stopped in front of the basement of a building. He took out a torch, but it was useless, for the Battery had run down. Harry went down. The bats flew everywhere. Finally, he tried his best to catch the captive. He said to him, "On behalf of my Battery, I arrest you."
Sam's heartache. Sam received a letter from his beloved's parents. His beloved died from an accident and was buried beneath her house. Sam lost his consciousness. When he woke up, he saw a doctor. He had a bias against doctors, but he made believe he behaved respectfully toward them. The doctor hadn't much belief in his behavior, for Sam's eyes betrayed him. He said to Sam, "At best we can cure your body, since we make the best use of the medical instruments here. Be wary of your mind. You must try your best to cure it." The next week, when the doctor came to see Sam, he was reading the Bible. There was another visitor beside him. It's a beautiful nurse. She smiled at Sam. "If you want to know more about the Bible, you can look up the bibliography." Sam was bewildered by her smile. Next, they had a dialogue. "Fresh air is beneficial to your health. The bent branches are covered with ripe berries. Let's go to pick berries tomorrow." "It's no benefit to me at all. I'd better stay here. Besides, I bet it will rain tomorrow." But the next day, the weather had taken a turn for the better, and they did go out. After a long struggle, Sam finally got the better of himself.
An engineer named Dan. The government decided to build a bridge between a bleak island and downtown. Several companies bid for the contract, and one of them won. The workers stood on board, accepting the blessing from the priest. He bid them good luck. It's springtime. Flowers were blooming, or blossoming, all over the island. The engineer who took charge of the team was Dan. He wasn't interested in biology, so he chose technology. After they arrived, Dan took out a blank sheet of paper to calculate the expense. It would cost them more than $1 billion to complete the project. The first work was to move a big rock. The tools were too blunt, so they decided to blast it. A bold worker boasted that he could do it well, but he made an awful blunder. The trees around the rock caught fire suddenly. The workers were unable to control the blaze. It's a bloody accident that caused 5 people to be injured, including Dan. Dan bound the cloth around his head to stop bleeding. Then he took some bitter pills. After that, he drank some blend of whiskey and wine together with some biscuits. The worker blushed when he saw Dan in the boiler room, but Dan didn't scold him. Instead, they checked the sight scene together. Then they found out they needed a bolt to fit the valve. According to a biography about Dan, we know finally they completed the project successfully.
Brave John. Since last year, the agriculture in this village had boomed. The boughs of trees were loaded with fruit. The workers worked hard and got bonuses. John was one of them. His neighbor, Mrs. Myers, had a son who walked with the help of a brace. Even though the boy liked to bounce up and down, the friendship formed a friendly bond between the two families. They'd like to discuss something like public bonds sometimes. One day, when John was working, Mrs. Myers called him from a telephone booth. She was crying. "My son fell into the river. Please save him." It sounded like a bomb exploding in John's heart. He rushed to the bank. He was bound to find the boy. The river formed the boundary between the two countries. To pass across the border, one must go through customs. Brace yourself for the danger. Some boring people tried to boycott his action, but John took off his boots and dived into the river. He showed great bravery in saving the drowning boy, and he succeeded. He held the boy to his bosom and went back. His dog came bounding to meet him. Mrs. Myers bowed as she appreciated him so much. She took out a brass box in which there was a bottle of brandy made in France. It's one of the most popular brands. It had a regular grip of its bottom. Then Mrs. Myers bored a hole in the bottle cork to pull it out. After the meal, the mother said to the son, "Put the date in brackets on the paper. Do remember today, my boy."
A nice night. It was a nice night. Stars were brilliant in the clear night sky. A breeze blew over the garden. We just had chicken breast for supper. I was telling my families about my travel when Bill broke in with a story of his. He was sorry to arrive late because his car broke down, so he had to ride on a horse. Though his horse was of the best breed he had ever bred, the hundreds of miles run left Bill out of breath. He pulled the brim of his hat down over his eyes, then began. A man loved a girl very much. On May 1st, she would be his bride. But he was put into prison, and her family broke off relations with him. He was locked at a room where the window was bricked up. On the last day of April, the man bribed a policeman to let him go free. Next, he and some other criminals broke into the armory and carried off 20 rifles. So a combat broke out, unavoidably. The police tried to break up the crowd, but failed. The criminals had little difficulty in breaking through the pass. They broke away from the prison successfully. In brief, the story was exciting. It made all of us catch our breath.